So this patient of yours, as you mentioned, had an IDH1 mutation, and I want to talk a little bit about IDH inhibitors, and maybe to get into that, you can talk about your 47-year-old patient.
This is a patient that, as you said, 47, was diagnosed with AML, had 3+7, achieved a remission, then received consolidation, and had a remission that lasted for about 8 months, then relapsed. We don't have much information about the cytogenetics or the molecular diagnosis that was done elsewhere, so I don't have that information. But then it came to MD Anderson after the relapse, so we did the full analysis, confirmed the relapse. Then we found a trisomy 8, and then we found an IDH2, a TET2, and an NRAS mutation. It's interesting, you know, there is a bit of a correlation between trisomy 8 and IDH mutations. You seem to be an overrepresentation among those patients with trisomy 8, so that fits that. So I gave this patient this AG221, that's the IDH2 inhibitor that's now approved. And at that time, we did it in a clinical trial. And, you know, that meets the criteria. Importantly, as we started the treatment, a few days later, the white cell count started going up, and the blast count in the blood appeared to be going up as well. Started having a little bit of pulmonary congestion, fluid retention, some shortness of breath, hypoxemia, et cetera, and also with some elevation in the creatinine. So this is important because we know that these agents cause some differentiation, which, by the way, may or may not come with an increase in the white cell count. Not everybody that has a differentiation syndrome has an elevation in the white cell count. So we need to keep our eyes open for these, even if the white cell count is not going up. This is interesting because we had to learn about this early during the study. Some of these patients in the early parts of the study were taken out of study because of progressive disease. If we had known about this patient would have probably been taken off study because, well, gee, the white cell count's going up, the blast count's going up, forget about it, you know, let's give him some chemotherapy. Now we know about this, so what we need to do is we control the counts with hydroxyurea, we can add it, or if there's too many manifestations, you stop the treatment with the IDH2 inhibitor. And by the way, that occurs the same with IDH2 or IDH1 inhibitors. For that purpose, they're exactly the same. So hydroxyurea, steroids help, and good management of the fluid, so get diurese them aggressively. And it's very much as you would treat a patient with a differentiation syndrome with ATRA, for example, you know, all the same approach. So I stopped the IDH inhibitor for a few days. When the patient was better, I restarted treatment, and then he did well. There are some patients that may experience recurrence of these differentiation syndromes, so be alert because the fact that they've already done it once doesn't mean it's over and it won't happen again.
So he received enasidenib, as you mentioned, which has now been approved for IDH2. There's also ivosidenib for IDH1 that was recently approved. What's his current situation?
He's continued on the therapy single agent, and this patient has not been able to find a donor. So right now, I'm going with his therapy. In the case here, I said that he has 25% blast. It is very important to recognize that the responses don't happen immediately on these patients. After one cycle, you may not see anything, but you have to continue the treatment. In the absence of clear evidence of progression or something, keep going. This patient now has received, I don't remember, 3 or 4 cycles or something like that, and the blast count has continued to improve. Not quite in remission yet, still, but it's down to the single digits, I don't know, 7 or 8% blast, something like that, last time we checked. So keep going with the inhibitor, even if you don't see, this is not chemotherapy. You don't expect the remission in the first cycle. Just make sure that the patient's tolerating well. By the way, these drugs are very well tolerated. Other than the differentiation syndrome, there's very few adverse events of significance. So that gives you the opportunity to continue. The patient has remained out of the hospital all this time. We know that we have some of the patients that started early on the study and have maintained the remission for 2 years plus. So it can be durable.